is our country. We must fight to keep her free.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Word of the Most High radio show with your host, David James. The King of Saints, the Most Faithful Shepherd, the Everlasting Father, the Holy One of Israel. That's our Father. We are His offspring, dear kinswomen and kinsmen. Never forget it, never forget Him in the good times or the bad. Keep your eyes on Him. Do not worship men or institutions. I mean, this should be as obvious as could be these days, that men are quite fallible and the institutions are even more fallible. Do we agree? The Father in heaven is not fallible, though. Nay, 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 as they say. Today we're going to continue the Apostle Paul series. This is a continuation from last time on the trip through Galatia. And we're going to touch on the new covenant. And I'm going to explain that to you so that there will no longer be any doubt what the new covenant is and who it's to, more importantly. We left off in verse 15 last time, and it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ." You see, the blessing is to, and the covenant is to all of us. Don't be tricked by the Apostle Paul's words here. This is trying to confuse you. When he says seed, he's trying to tell you that seed, when he says seed, the promises were to Abraham and his seed, the promises made. He didn't say to the seeds, to everybody that goes with Abraham, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ, you see. This is double talk. It's not correct. The more you look at this stuff, the more you realize just how crazy it really is. Listen, Abraham's covenant was made with Abraham and who were part of his seed? Well, Isaac and Jacob. Oh, but I thought it was only to one, Christ. It's ridiculous. We as the seed of Abraham, the way that Paul puts it is that we would be a blessing to all nations. In other words, to all the peoples of the world. He's a universalist. In other words, the seed of Abraham would no longer be a bloodline type of thing. It's a spiritual thing, you see. And when you are grafted in by saying this prayer to Christ, whether you're black, whether you're the seed of the dragon, whether you're a Satanist, whatever you are, you're grafted right in and you're immediately qualified. And you can sin as much as you want. Don't worry about it. You're in. Well, that's not what it means when it says that Abraham would be a blessing to all nations. We are supposed to be priests and kings. We are supposed to set an example. And that's why the Jews got in our country and made sure that we can't set an example anymore. Like I said in the last show, America, people used to want to be like America when America was white and great. Nobody wants to be like America now. They want to come here and steal, but they don't want to be America. They hate America. See, the world used to look up to America when it was a white country. And they all wanted to emulate America. But they don't want to anymore. So we've been a blessing to all nations as the seed of Abraham. Wherever we've gone, like in South Africa, the Boer German Boer people went there and fed the whole continent. That's being a blessing to other nations. Don't let the Apostle Paul fool you with this nonsense that he's trying to put forth here. Because him and the devil concocted all this nonsense to trick the people into universalism. Into thinking that anybody can be saved. See, this is a terrible thing to do to people, to lie to them and tell them that they can have eternal life when they really can't. It's using people, and it's abusing people. So, verse 17, and he says, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law," he's calling the covenant the law, "which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make a promise of none effect." Well, the law, the covenant that was made with Abraham, he did not give Abraham the law. You understand? So Paul is abusing and using people with wordsmithing here. I mean, if you don't agree with me, just write me and let me know. Because the law, it is something that is stated. The covenant is a promise. Okay, so he's using something a little wrong here. This is crafty stuff, and this is how the devil works. So he says, and this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Now, he does admit that there's a promise there, right? "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise." That's what I just said, right? He didn't give the law to Abraham by promise. He gave the covenant. He gave the law to Moses, not Abraham. It was a drastic measure. Abraham didn't need the law. He was obeying the law. They had in those days the law of Hammurabi, which called for stricter executions of the law. Like death was more prevalent, let's just put it that way, if you disobeyed. So, isn't it interesting what he's trying to pull off here? "If the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise." Which inheritance is he talking about? You mean the inheritance that he's trying to give away by making people the spiritual seed of Abraham? See, the inheritance is only to those who are the true children of Yahweh himself, and those who are in the seed line of the covenant. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, that the Jews are so up arms today and trying to get everybody turned against race, because that's, this is one of the most important things in the whole world is race and purity of race. That's why the Jews are going absolutely out of their minds about this. Because if the world found out how important race was, and a lot of people are, this is going to turn the world around on the head of the Jew. So he says in verse 19, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Where did he get that from? See, he's trying to say that the seed that should come is Jesus Christ, to whom the promise was made. No, the promise was made to Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, and their seed, their offspring, their Zerah. What a con man. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. You see, how do you think, what makes a man righteous? Obeying the law? Or saying, I have faith in Jesus Christ? I'm asking you that question. See, Paul's trying to say that the only way righteousness comes is by faith. Now, we know that our righteousness, if we obey the law, the Father accounts that for righteousness. Abraham obeyed the law, and that was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, faith, like I said the last time, faith and obedience go hand in hand. The reason why you obey the law is because you have faith that the Father who gave it honors that law. And if you obey, he has told you, if you love me and obey my commandments, you shall be rewarded for that. So it is by faith that we obey the law. If we didn't have faith that obeying the law was worth anything, then we wouldn't bother obeying the law, would we? See, there's no double talk in what I'm saying, but there's a lot of double talk in what this fellow's saying. He said, "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith." That's a lie. If Abraham was faithful, how was he shut up to the faith? He's trying to say that the promise that Abraham was given was Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to say to you. So, let's continue. So he says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." See the lie right there? You understand that the devil knew that this law, this thing about, we are all the children of God. If you're a queer, you're a child of God. If you're a transvestite, you're a child of God. If you're a regular seed of the dragon, you're a child of God. If you worship in false gods and demons and do voodoo, you're a child of God. Really? That's a lie. See, he says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Oh, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter what you are, the Apostle Paul is saying. It doesn't matter if you are the heathen. It doesn't matter if you're anything. As long as you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Isn't that interesting? See how he uses Jesus Christ? Interesting what they say, for there is neither male nor female. Isn't that interesting? Now, I know that Jesus says that the angels don't marry. So he says, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So this is the premise again. This is the spiritual nonsense. The spiritual seed of Abraham has nothing to do with the blood. So all you have to do is say you believe in Christ. You know, go up and say that prayer in these in the Jewish version of Christianity. And you're automatically in. Well, let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. Will you turn there with me, please? Now, all these people in the Jewish version of Christianity keep talking about this new covenant and how this new covenant includes queers, it includes transvestites, it includes blacks, Mexicans, anybody. It includes everybody who just believes, right? Wrong. Behold, the day shall come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Does it say anything in that he's going to make a new covenant? Is it going to be with the seed of the dragon? No. Is it going to be with anybody different than it already was with? No. So you would have to be of the house of Israel and with the house of Judah to be involved and to be included in this covenant, correct? I'll read it again. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And that's not Jews, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith Yahweh. See, this covenant isn't according to that covenant of the law on the tablets, but listen carefully, please. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, not with the world, not with all people. You ready? After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. Now I could go on. It talks about in 34 that they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Who was given the law? The people of Israel. Was the world given the law? No. Was the world included in the covenant? No. And this new covenant we do see already right now that it doesn't include any new people here, correct? But wait a minute. The Apostle Paul says it does. He says that the inheritance has been given to everybody. It's been extended to all the heathen, to the seed of the dragon, to queers and transvestites, etc., etc. Now, Paul didn't say that about the queers and transvestites, but that's what it's evolved into today. His so-called gospel. His gospel. Now, do you understand? So they're abusing the people by making them think there's a new covenant, and this new covenant, because he said it was on the inward parts, that must be a spiritual thing, right? So it's not a physical thing, but yet it's in the inward parts. It's in the inward parts of the physical body, the temple, so to speak, correct? So, of course, the flesh is very important, isn't it? Because it holds the covenant. Like the Ark of the Covenant holds the covenant, you see? So, I'm a little passionate about this, ladies and gentlemen. Let's check again in Jeremiah chapter 18. Please turn there with me, please. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. This is the new covenant, ladies and gentlemen. See, the clay was marred. Then the word of Yahweh came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith Yahweh? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of that evil that I thought to do unto them. So, what he's saying here is that he's going to make a new vessel out of the same clay. You see, the potter can break up the clay and he can use that same clay, the same people, Israel, to make this new vessel, this new covenant. So instead of the tablets, this is now put in the inward parts of us. I call it the compass, right? You can call it the comforter too, right? Right. There is no new people included in this new covenant. There never was, and there never will be. As far as I know, the Father hasn't said any new people would be involved in it. You see, this is what the devil does. He brings these people into the have-nots, that I call them, okay? The people that have not a covenant with Yahweh. We have the covenant. And the have-nots come in and they steal our inheritance. Because the Jews give it to them. Well, it's the same thing. The Apostle Paul is trying to steal our inheritance and give it to the heathen. This should be so clear to you that what I'm saying is right, because it's very clear to me. You see, if it were a lie, it would be hard to explain, but it's not hard to explain. It's very simple. See, it's the Apostle Paul, the liar, that has a hard time explaining all these things. He may have learned from the devil, but he didn't do a very good job, although the lie has lasted 2,000 years, so he did a good enough job. But the Father didn't allow him to do a good enough job to trick his elect, or at least all of his elect. There was a time that teaching this truth about the Apostle Paul would get you, you know, in a real mess, as it did with Finley. And as it did with many other people. The Father, that day has ended. The brethren are ready to hear the truth. Now, not all brethren are ready to hear the truth, but I went forward and stepped out onto this thing, and I was warned that this would destroy me. Yet it has not. And why? Because the Father has not let it. Because the time is actually right now. Other people in identity tried to come out and tell the truth about the Apostle Paul, and they were backed off. I'm not really in identity, as I told you, but I believe the same things identity believes, to a point. And there's different people that believe different things in identity for deliberate reasons that just aren't true. But I'll say one thing. Most of those people in identity are protectors of the Apostle Paul, which is universalism. And I find that so intriguing. I find that it was like the Father knew how to expose them. And it's amazing the exposing that has taken place. Even somebody like Visser, who's not even a white man, he's one of the ones who is most upset about this. I find it very funny. He's an agent, like most of those people anyway. You see, they didn't want Christian identity to succeed. And so they did what they did with Christianity. They infiltrated it, and they're continuing to infiltrate it. And they've lost a lot of agents as of recent, and they're trying to bring in new ones. And when I was there, I saw to it that they wouldn't be able to do that. And they didn't like it. Now listen. You people that are in identity, don't get mad at me for speaking that. I told you, let's forget about men and institutions and keep our eyes on the Father in heaven. Don't get mad because I talked about an institution that you had hope in. Have hope in the Father. Now, let me just show you this. I thought I said there were only three scriptures. I might have misspoken. I don't know if I said three or four, but there's only four scriptures in the whole Testament that mention the new covenant. One of them, of course, is Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. All the other three are given by the Apostle Paul. How quaint. No wonder the Jewish version of Christianity and Kenneth Copeland and all these people, they keep bringing up this covenant over and over, and they've made up a whole bunch of other covenants too. Hebrews 8:8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Isn't it, let's say, behold, say, when I will make, okay, so he mostly, see, he added the for finding fault with them, he saith, I think. Let's go to Jeremiah 31 again and see if he says for finding fault with them. No, it does. The Apostle Paul added that. And just like we've said over and over and over, the Apostle Paul never quotes a scripture. I don't think I've ever seen him quote a scripture exactly. He either takes something away or adds. So he says, for finding fault with them, he saith, that's all added in. That's not there. Hebrews 8:13. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made first the old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Well, he's trying to say that the law has decayed and is old and it's ready to vanish away. You know, of course, with the coming of Christ, it has vanished away according to the Apostle Paul. You see, this is wordsmithing. This is trickery. The law has not faded away. The only part that is decayed and waxed old is the sacrificial part of the law. Because the priesthood abused that sacrificial law, and the people also did as well. That's why they were obeying those laws, and we were still taken to Babylon and Assyria, regardless. In other words, they were obeying bringing the turtle doves and all that stuff, but it was being misused, as I told you. If you had money, you could sin. You could afford to sin because you could afford to pay for your sins. You get it? And now the Apostle Paul has people abusing the same thing, the sacrificial law, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, saying that it doesn't matter how much you sin, Jesus paid for it. So now you don't even have to pay for your turtle doves. You can just sin as much as you want, and Jesus paid for it. See? No. Sorry, Charlie. Sorry. Hebrews 12:24. This is the fourth one in the whole Testament. So you see, three of them are of the Apostle Paul, and one of them was said by the Father. What does that tell you? You see the abuse here on the people. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Let's go to that, Hebrews 12:24. Let me see if we can whip over there. Just so we can kind of get that in context. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So, you see, it's really that this stuff is just thrown in here, this new covenant thing. And the Father is the one that made the clay new. The clay was marred. He made the marred new. So this new covenant is really not the death of Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of things in his resurrection, etc., etc., and the sprinkling of his blood. For there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. You see? So this new covenant is with the same people. And now the law, it gave us an advantage by putting the law within our hearts because that would help us. In other words, a conscience. It would help us to obey the Father almost naturally. When you have white people living all with white people, we have the covenant, we have the law written in our hearts, there's very little crime that goes on. See, the proof of everything is that the beasts of the field, including especially the Jews and Negroes, which are the seed line of Cain as far as I'm concerned, don't have any conscience. They don't have any compass within them from the Father. Number one, they don't have a covenant with the Father. That's why they have nots. Number two, they don't have a compass within them to stop them from doing crime. If you bring blacks to your neighborhood or Jews to your neighborhood, the crime rate goes through the roof. That's proof right there, then and there, that they do not have a covenant with the Father. And especially the new covenant, they do not have any law living within their hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, be not tricked by the devil and his wiles. He used the Apostle Paul to do this to Christianity. And what this means is our people are constantly taught to violate this compass, to violate the law that's within them, to hide their head in the sand, or to sear their consciences so they don't have to feel bad about disobeying these things. See, we know what's right. The Negro can't see 2 minutes into its future. It has no compass. It has no conscience in reality. All it knows is feelings and things like of that nature, which is all of the devil. It's not that feelings are all evil. It's that when your feelings are the most important thing and they are controlling you, then we have problems. It's when things get way out of balance. There's nothing wrong with drinking a glass of wine, but if you're drinking yourself under the table day after day after day, there's a problem with that. So, you think about that, because that's the exact truth. There is nobody added into the new covenant. These people are lying to you. The Apostle Paul is a liar. He's an admitted liar. And these people have all interpreted what he's said, and rightly so. That's what the devil wanted. That's what they wanted. They wanted to take over the narrative of Christianity, to Judaize it, and therefore destroy it. You know, override the law that's within our people. Eat the pig. Why? There's only one excuse to eat the pig. Now, you've got the Father saying, don't eat the pig. And he talks about it several times. But you've got one little dream that it is actually believed that Paul had the dream, not Peter. And this dream just takes, you don't have to obey that at all. You can eat all the things that clean the land and eat all that awful stuff. You know, you can eat carrion birds that eat dead things. Oh, yes, you can. Because of the Apostle Paul's dream, which is supposedly Peter's dream. Ladies and gentlemen, this is trickery. This is to trick you into disobeying the law. Look at the ramifications of eating these things. People die from seafood poisoning all the time. People are deadly sick because of eating the pig. You know it's true, and I know it's true. Who's right, the Apostle Paul's dream, or let's say Peter's dream for the hell of it, or the Father? Who's right? Did the Father all of a sudden change his mind and say, oh, you can eat pig, it's delicious. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make sure that we promote the pig everywhere you go. Everything tastes better with bacon. Right? Wrong. See, taste, again, is another titillation of feelings. It's a sense, senses. Sensual, sensuality. Oh, it might taste good to you. But what are the ramifications of that taste? What are the ramifications of race mixing? You might have thought, well, it feels good to have sex with somebody else of another race. You might have thought that. But what are the ramifications of those feelings? I think you understand what I'm telling you now. Now, there's something else I want to tell you, too. When I was listening to Eustace Mullins, he said that the definition of the Kabbalah was tradition. Here's what one definition from Merriam-Webster says about the Kabbalah, and it's spelled many different ways. A medieval and modern system of Jewish theosophy, mysticism, and thaumaturgy, marked by a belief in creation through emanation and a cipher method of interpreting scripture. Hogsley was doing that. Now listen to definition two, a traditional, esoteric, occult, or secret matter, and B, esoteric doctrine or mysterious art. Now, let's see. I pulled up the word tradition, and there's 13 instances. Matthew 15:2. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Matthew 15:3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Let me interpret that. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your Kabbalah, your Talmud? Matthew 15:6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, by your Kabbalah, by your Talmud. Mark 7:3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Mark 7:8. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. Mark 7:9. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye keep your own tradition. Talmud, Kabbalah. Mark 7:13. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye. Galatians 1:14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. Let me go to that again. I read that before. Let's just get right to that. That's 1:14 because I want to get it in context for you. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. The traditions of his fathers. You understand? That means he's admitting he's a Jew, not an Israelite. Now, we went over that before. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Second Thessalonians 2:15. Then he turns it around and says something different. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Doesn't that sound a little odd? 2 Thessalonians 3:6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Don't you think that's a little odd? See, he knew nothing about Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Very interesting. That's all I can say to you, ladies and gentlemen, is this is very interesting, all this stuff that's being said here. So now we're in chapter 3. I think we'll move to 4 in this trip through Galatia. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, but he be Lord of all. And Lord is not capitalized. Very interesting. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed to the Father, also non-capitalized. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Aha! There it is. I remember somebody pointing that out. See, there's your word there. There's your trickery, adoption of sons. We are not adopted. We are not born of fornication or born of adultery. We weren't adopted in as children of the Father. We are of his bloodline. You see the trickery here, ladies and gentlemen. This is verse 5, Galatians 4. That's why we're taking a trip through Galatia. To redeem that were them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. No. That's your gospel to the heathen. We are true sons of the Father in heaven. And he said, and because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. See, but he's speaking to anybody that should come. He's not talking to Israel. You see? In other words, now they're all sons. We're all of the seed of Abraham. We're all in the seed line of Jesus Christ. Adopted, grafted in, you know what I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, my goodness. See, this is word crafting. I hope that you're seeing it. Howbeit, this is verse 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? In other words, the law. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Strange talk there. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Which gospel? Paul's gospel, his gospel. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. The Galatians received him as an angel and as Christ Jesus, and he let them do that. Now, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and yet he says, in my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. What kind of talk is this? And I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. Who's he speaking of? But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. You see, other people, like John, went to the church of Ephesus, and when they preached the true gospel of Jesus Christ, it had an effect on the people because they had the law written in their hearts. And so it went against the things Paul taught. And when he returned to these places, he said, well, what's going on? And I'm sure that there were false teachers that came in, other than Paul, that brought them new ideas, new age ideas, so on and so forth, right? So, listen to this. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Christ be formed in you? My little children? I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one for Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That's not true, Paul. You see, they even say that Eve is the mother of all living things. That's not true. Unless you want to say that only the Adamic race are truly living things, for in reality, the Jews are born spiritually dead from the womb. You see, if we have the new covenant, which is the law written in our hearts. Obviously, the Jews don't have that, do they? Because they're born spiritually dead from the womb. And all they want to do is corrupt the law and cause people to disobey the law and override the law with their traditions, etc., etc. See, all this stuff makes perfect sense. I believe that if you listen to the series all the way through, if at the end of that you can't see the truth about the Apostle Paul, you better start to question your ability to discern. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath come, the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he was that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. See, isn't it funny that he would say that? And the heathen are also the children of bondwomen, right? They're not of the free Israel or the seed of Abraham or anything like that. Yet he's trying to bring in all these that are born after the flesh and say that if they say the prayer, they are now included in the spiritual seed of Abraham. They are now in the bloodline and they are now of Jesus Christ and of Israel, the kingdom, spiritual Israel. There is no spiritual Israel. There is no spiritual seed of Abraham. That's garbage. If you want to say spiritual seed of Abraham, maybe you could say the dead in Abraham that died from the seed of Abraham are spiritual, but there is none of this hooey that the Apostle Paul is trying to put forth here. See, he's the one that's trying to bring the children of the bondwoman into the land of the free, into the covenant of the free, into the covenant of the heirs, the true heirs. He's trying to make non-heirs like Ishmael heirs. After all, that's what the heathen are, right? Isn't it interesting? Can you see what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm saying? Are you weighing these things out? Do you think I'm twisting anything, or do you think the Apostle Paul is twisting something? I'm curious to know. My. So we're done with chapter 4, and now we have a clear, concise view of the new covenant. Now, if you were to go listen to Kenneth Copeland, the new covenant includes, just like the Apostle Paul, includes everybody. Matter of fact, he has all kinds of covenants, love covenants, all kinds of things. He just makes it up as he goes. And it's amazing that this guy's saying, glory to the Father, glory to God, and all these things. You know, it's amazing to me, ladies and gentlemen. You know, when the Apostle Paul talked about his lie, he couched it between things like, there is not one good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that it was okay if nobody's good, then since Paul lied, it's not really a big deal because nobody's good, see? But does that really mean? See, this is, when this Copeland fellow's teaching, he's couching things in saying, glory to God, praise God, glory to, but he's been studying for over 40 years. He doesn't know the Father's name's Yahweh. Or does he? You see, folks, these people are tricksters. The devil, these are the people of the devil. You know, people say to me, you know, like, oh, about these politicians and stuff. You know, a woman wrote me, one of our sisters, and she said, should we tell the governors about what's going on with these masks? And these governors are politicians of Satan. They know full well what they're doing. They are under command to do what they're doing, and they're going to obey the devil. All have bowed their knees to Baal. The Supreme Court are priests of Baal. The judges are priests of Baal. And the religions are all priests of Baal. Kenneth Copeland is a priest of Baal. And they are going to obey what Baal wishes to be done and taught. And the Apostle Paul's gospel is to be taught and kept being taught. You see how crazy they're going over trying to demonize race and racism, racism, racism. They're so upset and so uptight about it because they know people are starting to find out about their racial, how important racial things are and how important race is and everything. You see? See, people have been told fables by the Jews that all races are equal. All people bleed the same color red and all this stuff. But we can see that there's a difference between the races. And what they've done is made very big mistakes by doing what they've been doing. You know, what's very funny that you should know before I leave here is that Black Lives Matter finally came out. And they had the full support of all the politicians, all of Baal's people. And they come out and they went against the Jews just this week. Now everybody's trying to distance themselves from them and they are no longer, the Jews want nothing to do with them any longer now, all of a sudden. You'll see what I'm talking about. You see, the herd, you know, one thing about the Negro is the Negro knows it's a dog. They call their women bitches, which is a female dog, and they call each other dog. These dogs bite the hand that feed them. See, the Jew feeds them our inheritance, our substance, and the dog still bites them. And then we don't do anything to them, and they bite us. They're just rabid. They're animals, complete animals. And who could deem it any other way? I mean, people are starting to see, oh, geez, it doesn't appear that all races are equal. Not in almost any way. Yeah. See, the truth will out, is the old saying. And the fable will go by the wayside. And may it be so just as soon as possible. May the Father bless you with his wisdom and ingratiate you. And may he let you know what the truth is in all these matters. Keep your eyes on him. Don't worship men or institutions. They are fallible. The Father is not fallible. Therefore, you can count on him.
Wake up, you people, now wake up. Wake up, you.